Greetings to each and every one today. This is Levi Stalsis from Central Georgia. I'd like to just thank you all for listening, for having a hunger for the Word of God, for wanting to an inspiration. Today I feel like this is not as much as an inspiration as maybe it may be a message a little more on the heavy side. And normally I don't like to share those heavy messages, but it is something that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I want to pass it on to you all so you can meditate on it and just be sure that you are free from these things, and that you can have that open heaven above you. I think the day before yesterday, or I'm not sure if it was the last devotion that I had about, which was, I was just considering that one where it talks about leaving your gifts at the altar and first go reconcile with your brother. And I've been pondering on that one today, and just the seriousness of offending someone. It seems like Scripture takes it, Christ and his teaching, he comes across very heavy on offending someone. How wrong it is to offend. It says, if you have offended a brother, or no, if you know your a brother has offense with you, first let your gifts at the altar and go reconcile with him. Well, here is a little bit of a stronger warning. This is directly to the one that has done the offense. And that's found in Matthew 17. Actually, it's Matthew 18. Jesus, first of all, he's explaining greatness. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in heaven, in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." And then in verse 6 he goes, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believeth in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been swimming and you have lost, you were swimming across a channel or a river or a creek, and you ran out of energy. You just couldn't go anymore. And you made a call out to a friend, and he threw a life jacket to you. Just the other few weeks ago, as a church, we were canoeing, and two of the young men swam across the river, and because of the current of the river, they ended up downstream pretty far. So they used wisdom. They walked upstream quite a ways, and they started swimming across again. But one of the young men, as he was coming across, he realized that he was losing out. He was in the middle, and there wasn't much of a current, but there was enough that just wasn't sure if he was going to be able to make it across. So he called out, and one of the men on shore just waded out and threw a life jacket out to him, and he was perfectly fine. But imagine for a moment that if you were swimming Or let's say, let's just use the illustration, if you were swimming, and instead of helping you out, someone would come and tie a weight on you. Well, you would immediately just sink. You just couldn't go. Well, here it's using illustration. If we offend one of those little ones, it would be better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea. Now, that's pretty severe. That is basically saying that it would be better for you to die, and I mean to die quick, and I mean to die and be forgotten. That someone that is thrown into the depths of the sea, there is no gravestone there for him. There is no, I mean, maybe they'll have a memorial back on land, but someone that dies at sea, it's gone. And here he's saying in the depths of the sea, and then it's not with a millstone hanging around your leg. It's around your neck. It's going to pull you down so quick that you do not have a fighting chance. And that's what Jesus is saying, that if we offend one of these little ones. And I think we have to be so careful. And today my mind just goes towards sexually molesting little children. And I just hope none of you have ever been in that. But if you were, I would just beg that you would make it right, that you would contact either if you were the, let's just say you were the offender, that you would follow the proper channels and make it right, that healing could begin. Because please don't just go and stuff it and just try to walk away from it, especially if it was at an age that this little child remembers you, that every time they look at you, they know that you were an offender, and now you're maybe a Christian, and he, in his heart, he scoffs at you, and you are offending that little one, because here you are trying to be a Christian, and have never apologized to him or followed the proper procedure in restoration. But let's go past that one, because I just felt I needed to share that. Another ways that we can offend little ones is by being angry at them, by being angry fathers, by turning them away with wrath, being occupied fathers that we don't have time for our children, that they feel like they are not heard. All those little ways we can offend those little ones. And Jesus makes it pretty clear that a person like that, even if we turn a child away from their faith in Jesus Christ, that is very serious. And, you know, we say, well, we wouldn't do that. But I think it comes back to what I shared the other day about how we can be ministers of the gospel. And if there's offenses that we have never made right, and there's a young man in the congregation that knows it, and every time we get up to preach, in his heart he scoffs. In his heart everything we say, he filters through knowing that I have offended someone and I'm not willing to face it. And through that, it's not that he's looking to go out into the world, but he goes there because he's sick of sitting under that teaching of a man that has offended him. I think that is going, you know, the scripture uses some severe forms of punishment. It talks about stoning, talks about, you know, different forms of punishment for someone that has offended someone. But in this case of turning a young heart away from the Lord, it just doesn't give a whole lot of options. It says it would be better for you if a millstone would be hanged around your neck and you'd be thrown into the depths of the sea. It just, I tremble, my dear friends. When I look at that scripture, as I look at my children, and I just have to ask myself, am I doing everything I can to so that they see that I am real? Because if I am not real, they're going to pick up on that, and they are going to be offended. They're going to be turned away from Christ. That's what he's talking about. That's exactly what this scripture is talking about, is that if we offend one and turn them away from Christ, you know, we wouldn't think of walking up to a young Christian boy and say, you know, you really don't want to follow Christ. It's not worth it. I would turn away from him. You know, I don't think any of us would do that. We would rather hide our sin and make it sound good, like, oh yeah, you want to be a Christian. It's worth it. There's victory in Jesus. You know, we would rather, in our sin, we would rather be a hypocrite and say that. But Lord, have mercy on those that offend the little one, because Scripture makes it very clear that there is no hope for someone like that unless he repents and truly confesses and ask Jesus Christ to forgive him. So, Lord bless you. I realize this was kind of a heavy meditation, a provoking thought maybe, and I do want to apologize if I came across too strong, but it just, I won't apologize for the thought that the Lord has given me, because it's biblical. But I do, I just pray that you all could take it as a word from the Lord and could just meditate on it and see the seriousness of offending the little children.